Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I'm Matt.
And today we're talking about how to give your money away. Yeah, Matt, that's right. Today on the show, we're going to talk about why you should give your money away, why it's actually beneficial to you, and then how to give your money away, choosing where to give, and making sure your money is actually going to charities that will use it well.
Yeah, Joel, and that actually makes me think of a recent comment that we had on our site by Sarah. And she had mentioned how, you know, she liked how we have a good balance between living a frugal life, but also enjoying life. And, you know, giving money away and being charitable, that kind of falls on the side of living that good life, right? Because if we're only about being cheap and like living that frugal life, it's like, well, I don't really have money to give away to other people. A big part of what we try to, you know, what we strive towards is all aspects of enjoying life, and included in that, you know, is giving money away. So if you've listened for a while, you know, that's going to sound familiar. That's kind of what we talk about every week, right? We try to balance the two. But if you're a new listener and you're kind of wondering why it is that we're talking about giving money away when this is a podcast about money and beer, well, you know, that's why. We try to enjoy life, but we're also striving to be wise stewards of our money, and along with that is being frugal. So, Sarah, thanks so much for that comment. Yeah, we really appreciate that.
Yeah, Matt, and sometimes people ask me, like, hey, do I have to like beer in order to listen to your podcast?
Yes.
It would help, but no, you really don't.
No, you don't.
I mean, I think the majority of the reason that we pour a beer on each episode, Matt, is it kind of represents something that we enjoy and somewhere that we put our money that matters to us. But then on top of that, I think it represents more than anything this concept of balance,
yeah,
right?
And
that's something that means a lot to both of us. There are a lot of people out there that are trying to retire at age, you know, 34, but they're not living a life of balance, you know, on the way to that. And then there are also people who are completely out of whack in overspending, and they're working way too much, and they're, you know, neglecting things that actually matter to them. Hopefully that comes out in our episodes, that balance is such a key. And that's something that we strive for and definitely don't always do well. But balance is at the heart of kind of the core of the mission, of what we're up to here.
That's right. It's our mission.
So, Matt, on to the beer that we are drinking this evening.
Ooh, man, that sounded loaded. Nice pop. So, you've got this beer. This is Russian River. This beer is called Consecration, which is a barrel-aged sour beer. And Russian River, they're out of California, right? That's up there, like, kind of near wine country.
Yeah, exactly. And this beer comes to us courtesy of our friend Carl, who runs the website 1500days.com. He's an awesome writer. He's an awesome dude. He absolutely loves good beer. And so he was kind enough to send us this beer, which is, I think, one of both of our all-time favorite beers. And he's got a lot of wisdom to share.
Yeah, so the 1500 was in regards to, he set a goal to be able to be financially independent by, you know, 1500 days later, right?
From when he started the blog.
Yeah. Yep. So that was that's the whole reason behind 1500 days. Yeah, man, this beer was, I mean, really, I think we'd had sours before. I know I had a few sours before this, but this was the first sort of world-class barrel-aged sour that kind of knocked my socks off, you know?
Yeah, I distinctly remember another friend, because this brewery's out of California. They only ship to a few states. Another West Coast friend sent us a bottle. We split it, and I just remember saying, sours can taste like this, I want more, because we've had some kind of average to subpar ones before that, and Consecration from Russian River just kind of took the cake, and really still does to this day. It's such a delicious beer.
Yeah, man, so this pours, it's pouring like a nice kind of murky brown, but it's got a lot of bubbles to it. You know, it's definitely gonna have a nice bit of carbonation. Ready to taste this. Yep, that's still awesome.
Speaking of balance that we talked about earlier, this beer is so well balanced. Some of the sours today are getting a little crazy, a little out there. This just kind of toes the line that it's walking perfectly, and I so dig this beer.
Yeah, it's pretty aggressive. Nice bit of tartness to it, but it's barrel-aged, so, you know, just those oak notes just kind of really balance it out and kind of smooths it out, makes it real easy to drink. It's got some slightly more bitter notes to it than maybe some of the sours we've had recently.
Yeah, I kind of like that, actually. Yeah. It's kind of rare to find. It's usually super sweet when it comes to a sour. And so those kind of bitter notes balance it out. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely got Russian River being based in wine country. Obviously, major access to wine barrels. And this one's aged in Cabernet Sauvignon barrels. And so it's got a little bit of that wine quality to it as well.
Yeah. You know what? I feel like that's what I can feel. Sort of like the tannin sort of dryness.
Yeah.
Kind of coming out of the wood a little bit, maybe.
Completely. And so if you're into wine, not really terribly into beer, a beer like this would be kind of a good one to check out. And we're actually seeing more and more of that beer-wine hybrid kind of thing happening. So
all the lines are getting blurred, man.
I know, right?
Have you guys ever been up to wine country like Napa or Sonoma?
No, never done it. I think I've done, like, Southern Oregon has some wineries.
Yeah, and I've got some up there.
I've done that before, but never like the California wine region.
So Kate and I went once and we decided, oh, okay, we're going to be over there. We've got to stop in, you know, in like Napa and Sonoma, thinking that we wouldn't really enjoy it. But no, we loved it. Man, we had such a good time and we're not even really into wine. But just seeing the grounds and the vineyards, you know, being able to, like the couple that we went to had hiking trails like on the property as well.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it's gorgeous. And then you get to cap it off with going down into the, you know, the cave or whatever where they age all the barrels. So it's nice and cold down there after you've been sweating out in the California sun and get to tip back some delicious wines. And yeah, we had a great time. There's, for obvious reasons, I guess.
But there is something about vineyards that's just beautiful.
It's a little more romantic than just a brewery, right?
Right. Yeah, completely. From that point of view, I can totally understand why you'd want to do it. You know, and I think especially getting into beers like this, you know, drinking some of those beers that have a little more wine-like qualities, I can completely see why people dig wine. And I could see myself someday in the future maybe drinking more wine than I do now. But right now, focused on beer.
But yeah, that being said, I mean, if you are out there and you're a wine drinker and you know of like a bottle of wine that's like in the, I don't know, $16-$18 bottle, a bottle range that you know is really good and that you could recommend to somebody, give us a shout. I mean, I would love to know like what's a really good bottle that you can get for, you know, $16.
Anything that says Kirkland Signature on it, buddy.
I don't know if that's true. However, I'm sure someone's going to write in and say, oh, it's actually not that bad, you know, just like the Aldi beer. No, it's not terrible.
So a tip to the folks that do like wine, there's a website called CostcoWineBlog.com. And there's this dude who dedicates his, at least free time, I don't know about his life, but he dedicates himself,
his entire life,
yeah, to writing about and reviewing the Costco wines. And they're actually...
Like just the Costco wines?
Just the Costco wines.
That's awesome.
And there are, you know, Costco's actually, I think, the number one buyer and seller of wine in the country.
Yeah, just like Walmart's the number one organic produce.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point.
I mean, that being said, like certainly Costco's got great wines though.
They do, from what I've heard. I'm certainly not a connoisseur, and I've tried a couple of them, and they've been a lot better than Two Buck Chuck, in my opinion. But but yeah, that blog is really cool if you're into wines and want to check it out. And another thing that Costco is great for, by the way, is getting bottles of liquor. Oftentimes, the Costco liquor, if your particular Costco, and you're not a member, Matt, we're going to fix that in the near future for you.
It's too far away, man. That's my big thing. I just don't like driving, so.
I don't want to hear your excuses.
You know how close the Aldi is to our house?
No, that's true. I know.
So close.
I know. But so the liquor selection at Costco is really, really good, and the prices are insanely good, too, because usually a package store marks up a bottle of liquor between 30 and 40%. And so at Costco, the most markup that Costco ever does is 15%. So typically, you get a bottle of their Kirkland Signature liquor for $10 cheaper on average, $10 to $15 cheaper than what you'd pay at a package store. They also have regular brands of booze
like
as well.
Good stuff.
Yeah, and okay. It's cheaper too, like by a good 10, 15, 20 bucks. So
well, you can at least pick me up a handle or two, you know, if you're going up there.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah.
By the way, I just wrote an article, it's up on the website now, about where you should go to get beers when you're in Atlanta, and so don't miss that. I also mentioned some of our antiquated beer laws in the article, so check that out if you're interested on knowing where we drink beer in our town, and if you're visiting, definitely be sure to hit some of those places up.
Yeah.
So Matt, on to the topic at hand, how to give your money away. And I think ultimately, you and I both think that there's a lot that we as human beings can learn by giving away our time and our money.
Yeah, man, that's right. For both of us, you know, a big part of like some of our core values, you know, is being generous, giving our money away, like in whatever sort of outlet that looks like for you. And a big reason we want to talk about this too is, I mean, at least for me, the sort of angle I want to approach it from is giving your money sort of intentionally And actively, right? Instead of it being sort of this passive thing that you're doing, or instead of it being a more like reactionary thing. You know, that being said, I'm not going to tell you not to like give money to somebody asking for a handout or whatever it, you know, it is that someone approaches you. But there's ways that you can give that helps you to feel maybe more in charge of your money, to where you're intentionally giving, and that's more part of your plan and like your mission, you know, like your financial sort of game plan and mission, versus it sort of being this thing that is more like an afterthought, or only if someone approaches you and, you know, asks for a donation, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think too, there's a place that people get caught up and they say, you know what, in the future, someday, I'm going to give my money away. It, you know, one of these days, you know, once I hit this certain point in my life, that's when I'm going to actually start giving away some of my money, but I just can't afford to do it right now. And I feel like ultimately, what it comes down to is that's kind of like an excuse. I hear the same thing with with a lot of people who say, I want to travel someday. And they never seem to prioritize it. They never seem to buy a ticket to go somewhere and visit a really cool place. And so that's just kind of a common thing. They prioritize their money going other places. And ultimately, it is a matter of prioritization. And if you say that you want to give someday, but can't give in some capacity now, then I think really you're just fooling yourself and you're tricking yourself, because it's something that you can do now if you would only prioritize it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just giving it lip service, basically. You're doing it to kind of make yourself feel a little bit better. And granted, maybe you're going through some terrible financial situation right now that, you know, where you do not have the space. You don't have the bandwidth for that. And for those people, we are not talking to you. But, you know, if you've got a steady job and you're living your life and you're enjoying yourself
and you're drinking craft beer,
the good stuff, we're talking to you, you know, like,
and I think too, this isn't something we want to guilt trip you over, but
no.
Yeah. It's not this, we're not trying to make you feel bad for not giving, but hopefully by the end of this episode, you will have seen how it's benefited Matt and I in our lives. It has given us a healthy detachment from our money. Just kind of a healthy understanding that money isn't everything. And in so many ways that our goals, right, for our money and for our lives are actually better served by giving away a portion of our income. And so we'll kind of tell you what that looks like in our lives. And I'll be honest too, you heard the last episode where my wife told a story
about lives.
Where was charging my friends for coal. Still a terrible story that I can't live down. But I feel like my heart has changed a lot about giving over the years and generosity. And so hopefully you can see kind of how I've grown. And honestly, being married, you know, being married to my wife, Emily, has accelerated that change in my life where I prioritize it. And it's been so meaningful to me to give away a portion of what we make. And so I think in the end, if you want a healthy view towards money, learning to give away a portion of it, you know, and you can figure out what that means to you exactly percentage wise, but learning to give away that portion can actually give you a more robust appreciation for what you do have.
Yeah, man. You know what this reminds me of too is our episode on asking for a discount in a totally sort of twisted way. But but we talked about how asking for a discount is sort of like a muscle. And like the more you do it, it kind of makes you uncomfortable, or it's just hard to do, right? But the more you do it, the easier it becomes. It's a behavioral thing, you know, it's like a muscle. I feel like giving your money away, it's real similar, you know, it's a muscle. It's sort of like this cognitive pathway where the more you do it, the better at it you get, the more you're sort of able to recognize it and see it in your life, kind of just as you go throughout the day and throughout your life, and you can respond to that.
Yeah, and I think in a lot of ways, like giving our money away is like a recognition of the fact that we aren't completely self-made people. We're influenced and made up in so many ways of the contributions of parents, teachers, our community, and the country that we live in. Hard work is certainly crucial to success, but being generous is that kind of recognition of the benefits that we've received from other people that have played major roles in our lives.
Yeah, man. And in a sense, it's sort of paying it forward, right? Like you have that recognition, you see that, and then you're also doing that for other people. And whether that be through your finances, right, through your money directly, or just through your time and the attention, the knowledge that you're able to share with others and kind of pour into other people's lives, all that is a part of recognizing all that went into you and sort of doing that for others around you as well. So obviously, like the number one benefit of giving your money away is helping people, right? It's you trying to better the people around you, trying to better the world around you, trying to make the world a better place. I mean, it's obvious, right? But if you think of like, okay, how's giving my money away going to make things better? I think a lot of times folks can immediately just only focus on, well, how's this going to be good for me? Like, you know, what are the benefits? Like, what, how's this going to affect my bottom line, when that shouldn't be your primary goal at all? Like, it should be because you see a need, or you really believe in this effort or this cause, and that's something that you're going to, you know, put your money behind. Yeah, because you truly believe it.
Yeah, and I think ultimately the easiest way to see the need and then to see the benefit of where your money is going is to give locally, right? To give to an organization that exists in your neighborhood or in your town. And so, you know, for me, there are a couple of organizations that are extremely local that I can quantify what they do. You know, I get the newsletter updates, I run into the people that work there, I know what is happening and the sorts of success stories that come out of that nonprofit. So it's really exciting to see something happening in my own neighborhood, whether it's helping kids or helping, you know, older people whose homes are in disrepair and they can't afford the repairs on their home. Giving to causes that are local, where you can kind of see the tangible work, is to me a really great benefit that you can actually kind of watch the progress of your money right before your eyes.
Yeah, I mean, that makes me actually think of this article I saw that I read, where they're talking about how even though like the total number of dollars that have been donated has increased over the years, the number of people who have been contributing has decreased. And like the whole article is talking about like the pooling of money to the, you know, the rich, and how they're kind of deciding where the money goes and how that affects policy, you know, tax policy, just all these different things. But what that means though, as well, is that these nonprofits and sort of charities are marketing themselves to people, because they're trying to get these big donors and they're trying to appeal to sort of like the mass appeal, the mass, you know, the whole country. And when that's sort of right in front of you as somebody that's looking to give your money away, you don't see the immediate need. Like, you don't see, like you said, like the local charity, something that is right in front of you. If you were just to, you know, literally like open your eyes or ask around and see what your local needs are. Yeah. So be mindful of that, because it definitely is trending to where these bigger organizations are sort of siphoning and getting all the funding, all the donations, where, you know, the smaller local organization has kind of been suffering over the past few years.
Yeah. And so I think a benefit too, Matt, is that giving your money away changes you just as much, if not more, than the people or organization that you're giving to. It's really cool if you give to a local organization to see your money at work and to maybe see people's lives that are changed. Someone, like I mentioned, you know, a house in disrepair for a senior citizen that is able to stay in their home, because otherwise they would have had to move. They wouldn't have been able to fix up their house, or they just have to live in a home with, you know, a messed up roof or something like that. That's something that's tangible and you can see.
Yeah. I mean, if you were to, like, you know, just give to Red Cross, like, I don't want to knock Red Cross, but like, they're great. However, it's hard to see the effects of that. And so, yeah, if you see the physical effect that your money is having, how encouraging is that? You know, I mean, that, if anything, that would just kind of give someone, if anything, that might encourage someone to give more, you know, like, yeah, when you see the effects like that, it just has this positive sort of reinforcement that hopefully continues the cycle.
Yeah. And I think ultimately then it has a great effect on you as a human giving your money away. So it's cool to see the progress, cool to see your money at work, where you live, or for a cause that you care about greatly. But then on top of that, there's something about living life with more of like an open hand, where you're not holding on to your possessions too tightly, or just like gripping your money, right? And not letting go of any of it.
Right.
There is something that changes like in your heart and in your demeanor almost when you are freed up to give. The way that you are generous with your money, I think, actually translates to a generosity of spirit. That's almost like a felt quality about a person too. So giving your money away translates into the kind of person that you are in life. And it has such a freeing effect on your soul by deciding to give away a portion of your assets.
It's hard to explain, right? Like, it's this weird intangible thing, but I think we've all met people in our lives, whether it be at work or just anywhere, where there's someone that's just greedy and they're just stingy and they just don't, and they suck. You know, it's someone that you kind of don't want to be around. And that's the what you're kind of talking about. It's sort of like that, you can't put your finger on it, but it's just, you can just tell that it's just like, man, why you got to be like that with your charcoal, Joel?
Well, and it's like this thing of like it's fabled in books and fairy tales, right? I mean, the Grinch and Ebenezer Scrooge, right?
Exactly.
There are these characters that say, you know, are there no workhouses? Like, I mean, there are these great stories that right. encompass someone's heart that is hard to the plight of their fellow man, and then how they can change. And I think some of those stories actually, while probably over-exaggerated, do kind of give us a window into the human heart, where if you do view your money and humanity in that way, you know, you can change and you can go from essentially this mindset of scarcity where you have to hold on to every dollar that you have to one of generosity. And that's going to have an impact on the world around you. But then, you know, even more so, maybe your heart will grow like five sizes like the Grinch too. So, and that'll have other benefits that are really hard to quantify, but are super important.
Yeah. And you'll certainly see in sort of the non-tangible quality of life that you have. Yeah.
Yeah. It changes your heart, but it also changes your mind. It's got like a psychological effect. There have been studies that have shown that giving money away leads to essentially like a happiness boost, that giving away your money actually makes you happier. And then on top of that, it also, oddly enough, makes you feel richer. There's something psychologically about even if we give away like a small portion of what we have, it makes us feel like we, like, wow, I've got enough money to give to this charity or that charity. And it actually kind of reinforces the fact that we are wealthy. And if you live in America and have a job, like compared to the rest of the world, you are wealthy.
Yeah, man, what I found super fascinating about, so specifically like that about the happiness boost, right? The reason we buy things is to kind of make us happy, right? Like you buy a shirt and because of that shirt, you're happy. At least for a little bit, you're happy, right? And that's how it is with a lot of possessions, a lot of stuff that we buy. When you give your money away, that also makes you happy, but at a rate much higher than were you to just buy this trinket. And so in a sort of self-serving way, you can make yourself happy by giving money away because it's just more effective. It's like a more efficient way to make your heart glad. And we would argue that it makes you better happy, not sort of this superficial on the surface, I bought this gadget happy, but this sort of deep happy that resonates with humanity and with like your fellow man, something that's more real than just this thing that you bought. And at the same time, you're spending less too, because like the amount of money that you'd have to spend in order to make yourself a certain amount of happy, you can spend like five times less than that by giving your money away and achieving the same happy by making someone's life better. Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy. Yeah. And I'll tell you, I see this like in my own self, in my own heart, and I see it in like the hearts and lives of my kids. So there's something about when you receive a gift, I feel like you are thankful for it, but it's always, or when you buy something for yourself, there's always like a certain level of disappointment. It never seems to kind of hit what you're aiming for. And I totally see it in my kids when they get gifts. They sometimes end up playing with, you know, the box that it came in, or
classic.
Yeah. Or discarding it in favor of something that they've had for a long time. It's not that they're not appreciative and they say thank you and they enjoy the gift for a while sometimes, but I completely see their hearts being totally different when they give something away or when they help someone else that doesn't have what they have. There's something long lasting, and it's the same for me. When I buy myself something new that I think I want, you know, it really only satisfies for a small period of time, and that happiness is like tainted with bits of guilt, and it really doesn't have the satisfaction that I think it's going to when I, you know, click to buy online. But then when I do serve someone else, when I, you know, spend my time to help a fellow human, or actually write a check to an organization in my neighborhood that means a lot to me, there's something that is a lot more long lasting about that happiness than just consuming more.
So another way that it's a benefit, man, to your wallet is that, you know, contributions and donations to like nonprofits are tax deductible. I don't know a ton about this, I'll be honest, because I actually have a CPA. Since I'm a small business owner, that's one aspect of the business that I've decided to outsource. Can you fill me in then on like the, because you've got the new standard deduction, right?
Yeah. So essentially the standard deduction for single individuals and for couples was raised. And so there are a lot fewer people that'll be itemizing on their taxes. And so for instance, right when the tax law got passed, I decided to give my 2018 contributions to a couple of organizations in 2017, as opposed to doing it on a monthly basis throughout the next year, just so that I would be able to claim a higher deduction on that year's taxes. And so for some people, the way to combat this is to give bigger chunks like every other year. Ultimately, this is advice to help you on your taxes, but...
tax strategy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
I mean, the most important thing is to be giving your money away, but if you want to do it and reap the most tax savings, then consider alternating years in which you give. Just make sure it's a part of your budget and that you're thinking about it. I know that can kind of almost be another excuse not to give. So don't let it be that in your life. But if you do want to get the most tax benefit from your gifts, yeah, consider doing it like alternating years so that you can, you know, 1 year take the standard deduction and then the next year
exceed it and itemize.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, based on essentially a higher, higher gift level.
Gotcha. Cool, man. So that was some of the benefits. And hopefully, too, when folks read the title of this podcast or, you know, this episode, they weren't immediately like, oh, this is the episode for rich people that are just giving their money away to charities and foundations.
This is the philanthropist episode.
I mean, that's definitely not the case for, you know, for either of us. We do, you know, we do intentionally and regularly and actively give our money away.
But I don't think the total amount would blow anyone out of the water.
Oh, really, Joel? You know, I gave away $120,000 last year.
Wow. far surpasses anything that I could even conceive of.
Just kidding. But I think a lot of folks might be thinking, this is all great to hear, but I am totally in debt. We're underwater. We're just scraping by, living paycheck to paycheck. Like, we can't do this, you know? Like, what am I supposed to do? And yeah, what would you say to folks in that situation?
Sure. I mean, I definitely understand that. And there were times in my life where... you know, rent was super high and I was just starting out in radio and I was making very little money. Not that you really ever make lots of money in radio, but I would tell them to start by donating some of your time. Whether it is like your local after school kids club and you can tutor somebody, whether it is volunteering some time at an old folks home in your area and bringing your kids there to play bingo and, you know, give them some cheer, or spending time, you know, even with a neighbor that is homebound, you know, whatever it is, maybe you're a good cook and you can make a meal that's killer for $6 for someone in your church that just had a baby. There are so many ways that you can spend your time and your talents to help someone out that you know that's in need. And so, yeah, I would say start by volunteering your time and maybe a gift that you have. It could be as simple as, you know, mowing someone's lawn. There are lots of ways that you can kind of get started in this. And then just make sure that it's a goal, that as your income does start to grow and your debts start to decrease, that you would prioritize this and make sure that it's on the front burner as a topic of conversation and as something that you're aiming for.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, giving your time might even actually be more difficult, but it can definitely be more meaningful, especially if it's something that you kind of have a heart for and that you care more about. Sort of on the flip side of that, though, man, I mean, I would even encourage folks to consider, even if you're not bringing home hardly anything, right? Like you're living paycheck to paycheck and literally maybe you're only setting aside like $50 a month, you know, tops or something like that. Instead of thinking, oh, well, I can't even... $50 is hardly anything and I need that to start paying off my debt or something like that. Consider a percentage. You know, it might be difficult to say, well, $5, I mean, that's nothing. Like where's that going to get me if I give somebody $5? Well, just know that it's less about the $5 that you're setting aside to give to an organization. And instead, what you're working on is building that muscle, right? So if you're setting aside $5 out of your 50, you know, you're setting aside 10%. And that's a lot of money. You know, if you're socking away $5,000 a month, like in a couple of years when you're, you know, making bank, well, that's $500 a month. And that's a big amount of money. Like that's a lot of money if you're still sticking with the percentage. And so for a lot of folks that maybe are in that situation, I would challenge folks to look at a percentage that makes sense for you. And if you're making hardly anything at all, that's going to seem silly because it's such a small amount. But that should also mean that that's totally doable. And what you're doing then is kind of locking into like a rate, you know, just like we talked about previously about a savings rate and trying to up the amount that you set aside for retirement. If you can just stick with a percentage and maintain that percentage, then you're going to be much better, you know, at giving your money away down the road when you've got a lot more of it. Because you've, again, you've worked that muscle and, you know, you're going to be a pro.
Yeah, completely. There's something about forming a habit and sticking to it. It's almost like jumping on the bike for the first time. I mean, I remember before I biked to work for the first time, I had it all built up in my head. Like, it was this scary thing that, you know, oh man, it's going to take forever and I'm going to be all sweaty and it's just not going to be worth it. And it's going to be a big pain. And biking to work has been one of the great joys of my life now at this point. And so starting, there's something to be said for starting.
Getting it rolling.
Yep. And so build that habit in your life, whether it is $2 a week, whatever it is, make it something. And I think there too, there is something about giving to where it impedes your lifestyle to a certain degree. There is something meaningful about that and saying, you know what, it's going to cause me to miss out on this. And it makes the giving really meaningful and helps you to understand, you know, how important it is as a priority in your life.
Awesome. So we've talked about now why you should be giving. We've talked about some of the different benefits that occur when you do give your money. And so now we're going to talk about some more practical stuff, man. How to give, how to actually give your money away. So first of all, find a cause or charity, you know, like we just talked about, that you really believe in, that you can kind of get behind, something that resonates with sort of your life goals, like your core values. Because when you can give your money to an organization like that, you're going to find it to be so much more fulfilling, right? And so the dollar amount doesn't change. Like, you can give to any old organization and sure, they're going to use your money and it'll be great. Or you can give to somebody that you believe in and that you're behind, and that's going to affect you as well, obviously. And that has a big impact on additional giving and the people around you and just the sort of person that you are. That's definitely something that you want to consider.
Yeah. And also consider giving of your time and yourself. And we mentioned this a little bit, but actually, Matt, what you said, I think sometimes it's harder to give your time. It's harder to give away bits of yourself in service to other people. But I think sometimes that's one of the absolute best ways to give, coming into contact with people that have a need and caring for them with the things that you've been given. That's one of the most beautiful ways that you can give. And sometimes, yeah, the most difficult, especially for people who do have, you know, large amounts of money, it can be really easy to write a check and hard to feel it.
Right.
And so if you feel like that's the case for you, say, you know what, I'm giving a lot and ultimately it doesn't seem to be resonating, moving the needle with me. Well, then you're the perfect candidate to spend some time locally with a charity, volunteering to keep the books or meeting with someone who has a specific need or tutoring the kids right at your local kids club. There are lots of places where, you know, your time could be really useful, and that should totally be part of the equation when it comes to how you think about giving.
Yeah, and not to make light of what you just said, but, you know, like, volunteering your time doesn't have to kind of be this drudgery. It doesn't have to be this pain. You and I recently volunteered at our local beer festival, and it's a ton of fun. I mean, we have a great time. We get to hang out with a lot of our friends, meet tons of new people. And specifically, all the money that the Beer Fest makes goes into the Neighborhood Foundation, which gives tons and tons of money away to local neighborhood organizations that need funding. They literally make tens of thousands of dollars, you know, every year through that Beer Fest.
Yeah, and our neighborhood is made better because of it.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I just wanted to mention that too, because it can be fun. It doesn't have to be this thing where you feel like you have to, like, flagellate yourself and, like, oh, okay, I gotta go, like, earn my time because I'm not donating any money. It's like, well, obviously you can give money, but you can donate of your time, and it can be a lot of fun too. And even if it is something that's more work, you know, it's something that may not seem as glamorous, it kind of comes down to how you view it yourself and sort of the value that you place on it.
Yeah, and a great place to start could be asking, like, a good friend, hey, where do you volunteer or give your money? Maybe what they partake in will resonate with you. I know that first step can kind of be daunting sometimes, but that might be a good way kind of to get the ball rolling. Find out where people that you care about and are close to give their time and their money.
However, don't let that be an excuse to not give, right? I mean, I would encourage everyone, even if you're hardly not making anything at all, to try to set a percentage, right? And hopefully everyone, by the end of this podcast, will be challenged, you know, feel challenged to be giving, you know, if not a dollar amount away, a percentage of your income, because, you know, that might be an easier way for you to part with your money.
Yeah, and be picky about the charities you choose. There's a great website called charitynavigator.com, and they do an amazing job of helping you understand the transparency and the financial choices of the nonprofit before you actually give to them. So, for an example, Yeah, if you look up Habitat for Humanity, you can see like the exact percentage of the money you give that actually kind of goes towards the work as opposed to, you know, back office and things like that. Right. And there was
I assume it's a lot.
And it's a lot. Okay. Yeah, they're great. Yeah.
I've heard good things about Habitats.
Yeah, I love Habitat. And but then there were a lot of articles, you know, a few years ago about this nonprofit called Wounded Warriors. And it was an organization that raised money for veterans that had been disabled or wounded in combat. And it turns out that a lot of the money that you were giving was actually going towards higher up people in the organization, staying at fancy hotels, you know, eating fancy dinners, going to fancy parties, things like that. And so
just all the fancy stuff.
All fancy stuff. Yeah. And so checking that charity out that you're considering giving to out on a website like Charity Navigator can kind of really actually help you feel good about the transparency level of the organization that you're giving to. And especially in times in the immediate aftermath of a natural disaster, like a hurricane, there are all sorts of fake charities that pop up. You'll see Facebook ads or get an email to donate. And sometimes there's, you know, one word off in the name of the charity. And so checking them out on a site like Charity Navigator can help you know too that you're not giving to a scammy organization. Yeah, and you know, we're cheap. Like I don't like to pay fees when it comes, you know, to someone to manage my money. I don't like to pay more than I need to for pretty much anything. And so when I'm giving my money to a charity, I want it to be the exact same thing.
Yeah, you want it to be effective.
Yeah, I want it to be effective giving, effective use of those funds. And
I want to donate to the vanguard of charities.
Exactly. And so like a charity like Habitat pretty much is that. And there are other organizations that very much fall into that vein, but then there are other ones where, you know, there's a lot of overhead.
It's a little more expensive.
Yeah, and not nearly as much money of yours is going to help the people that are actually in need as you would hope would be.
Yeah, Joel, that's a good tip. And something else too is to put it in your budget, right? So if you're going to start giving your money away, put it in your budget and stick to it. If you're not used to giving, it's probably not going to come natural to you to give a portion of your paycheck away every month or every 2 weeks. So what you need to do then is to plan for it and don't let giving be an excuse to why you're, you know, now overspending and blowing your budget. It's now needs to be a part of your budget. And this is also a way that kind of eases some guilt. And if you are actively giving your money away, right? Like if you have every month, you know that you're going to set aside, you know, X number of dollars or a percentage of your income to go towards a charity, whether that's pre-decided or if you kind of like to wing it, right? If you kind of are waiting for opportunities to come up, this is the perfect way for you to know that you are helping people, right? That you are giving money away while at the same time not feeling like you're being guilted into it. And I'll tell you too, from personal experience, like setting a line item for giving money away is that it's just fun. The way Kate and I view our budget is that once we've decided that that's what that line item is, like we almost have to force ourselves to reach that amount, right? For some things that's not difficult, right? Like going out to eat, we almost always hit that budgeted amount. But the same thing sort of applies for giving your money away. If you've decided on a certain dollar amount, so if you've underspent or, you know, under gifted that category, if you're getting towards the end of the month, man, you can really look for ways to give that money away, which is kind of crazy. Like that's just sort of this weird position that it kind of puts you in. And I think that should, for most folks, give you a lot of joy. We've found joy in that definitely in the past. At this point, we're kind of like always hitting the max. we're like almost always almost going over our budgeted amount. But and obviously, you don't have to spend all that. If you've got some left over for that month, just roll that over into next month because there might be another opportunity that shows up and it might be over your typical amount. And so, you know, be wise with your money. But yeah, that's so important for us. Is to actually set a dollar amount that is our goal that we're trying to hit every month to give our money away.
Yeah, I love your approach, Matt. I mean, I love how that sort of thinking about putting it into your budget and then the fact that your budget ultimately reflects, you know, the things that you care about, the things that bring you joy, and then being a part of those nonprofits, you know, where you give your money actually seems to, in my mind, with that mindset, bring you more joy. And I personally love getting emails, you know, hearing back from people that I know that work for those nonprofits that we give money to, you know, being involved in them and hearing the stories of what's actually happening. There's so much joy that's brought to my life based on, you know, the amount of money I'm able to give every month and then hearing what's actually happening with those funds. There's something really cool about that. And if it wasn't budgeted, if it wasn't set If it wasn't baked into the cake every month of what I'm giving away, it would be really easy for me to decide, I'm not going to give this month. I'm not going to give next month, and just kind of continue on in that pattern.
Yeah.
So, putting it in the budget, you know, has this double effect of kind of ensuring that you actually do it, and then, you know, reflecting those places that you do prioritize. I mean, it actually becomes like a joyous thing when you do that.
Yeah. Well, and even like a third prong then too, is that it allows you to do those things and to have that joy while at the same time not wrecking your goal, your financial goals, right? Like, it's not like this budget buster that just showed up because you didn't plan for it. I think a lot of people will think that this feels a little too stiff. If, you know, to say, oh, you need to set a line item every month, like you must give this amount of money away, you know, it doesn't feel natural and giving and from the heart. I mean, our lives are complicated and our finances, there's just a lot of moving pieces. And if something were to come along and if you didn't have that money set aside, well, if you were to respond to that, you know, out of the kindness of your heart, you know, out of generosity, like from a place of trueness, then it might blow your budget for that month, you know, and then there's other financial goals that you're not able to achieve that, you know, you also want to achieve. It's just kind of going into it with a plan and being prepared for it too, you know?
Yeah, completely. And I wanted to quickly mention also another how to give is you can give through something called a donor advised fund. So
that'll be more on the philanthropy episode, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it actually, in a lot of ways, it is kind of more people with big bucks doing things, but there's actually a lot of benefit that you can get as a small giver as well, having a donor advised fund. And so actually the credit card that I think I mentioned that I use all the time in using credit cards like a pro is a Fidelity credit card that gives me 2% cash back on everything I spend. And so over the years, you know, I'm racking up a fairly substantial amount of points that allows me to open up a Fidelity account of multiple different types of Fidelity accounts that I can open. And one of those types is a donor advised fund. And so the cool thing about donor advised funds is that they allow the donor themselves to make a charitable contribution to receive that immediate tax benefit that year, but then actually disperse those funds in different amounts to different organizations over a variety of years.
Right? Yeah.
So you can kind of watch it grow. You've kind of taken that initial deduction, but then you can watch it grow and decide how much you want to give away, you know, this month, next month, you know, 5 years from now.
Right.
So that kind of too could also help alleviate some of that, you know, budget busting. If you have like a donor advised fund, a small one set up, and you have this maybe monthly amount that you give, but then you
chip away and kind of put a little bit here and there.
Yeah. But then let's say you get like a bigger request from a charity and you see the need and you feel like you really do need to put your money to work for that charity. You know, that donor advised fund can be that perfect opportunity for you to give of some additional dollars that you kind of have in reserve. And so it's kind of a cool tool that you can use. And hopefully too, you know, in donor advised funds, often your money is invested. And so hopefully it's also growing at a bigger clip than just the money that's sitting in your savings account.
Yeah, which is definitely great. And something to keep in mind too with donor advised funds is that once you donate to those funds, it's gone, right? Like you can't you can't withdraw that money back into, you know, your regular savings account or something like that.
Oh, wait, I need it. Nope. Yeah. Nope. That money's then earmarked for giving.
Yeah, exactly. The way that the government sees that money is that once it goes into that fund, it is at that point charitable giving, and it can't go back. It can grow in your account there, but at some point you're going to have to gladly, hopefully, donate that.
Yeah, so if you're interested in opening one, you know, look at the specific rules of the company where you might consider opening a donor advised fund, but they are definitely a good option for people looking for kind of outside of the box ways to give a little bit more here.
Well, specifically too, it's a great way for big earners to offset their income, right? So it's definitely for doctors and folks that have very high incomes. If you're looking for ways to minimize your tax burden, that's one of the strategies, you know, and this kind of, it seems kind of cold-hearted, I guess. Like, it's like, oh, this is one way that I can reduce how much I give the government is to give to charity. And it feels like the heart isn't in it, I guess, as much. But like we said before, you want your money to go as far as you can get it to go. And so this is one of the smart ways that you can reduce your tax burden while at the same time maximizing the amount of money that you can give to charities.
Well, and speaking of doctors, our friend Physician on Fire has a great article about donor advised funds. And so we'll link to that in the show notes as well.
Something I wanted to ask you is, what are your thoughts on auto enrolling versus like manually having to give to like different charities or whatever it is that you do every month? And before you answer, the reason I ask this is because I thought back to the episode we did on like ways to cut your monthly bills, right? And you had specifically mentioned how you like to, with some bills at least, not put it on auto pay so that you kind of had to manually go in and pay it every month so that you would feel it, right? Do you, hear, you feel where I'm going?
No, I completely I completely feel where you're going.
Okay.
When you, and honestly, when you asked the question, that's exactly where my mind went too. And so...
You know me too well, dog.
I think there's a huge benefit in doing something physical, right? Where you actually pay a bill and you kind of feel the money a little bit more than you auto pay and you're, you know, finally reconciling at the end of the month.
Versus it being like this data point that just shows up and
yeah,
like, okay, that's how much
so
it
like
costs.
Actually taking the time to, even if it's not writing a physical check, right? But actually
on the keyboard
typing like. It in, right? Yeah. There's something to that. I think the same is true for giving because I feel that in myself.
Yeah, it's got
to
be.
There are some elements of some of the charities that I give to that are kind of set up on automatic withdrawal, and I don't feel it in the same way. I guess, you know, I get the, you know, an email or a newsletter or an update or something like that. And so that's kind of the time that I spend thinking about where my money's going.
Right.
But I don't feel it when I'm actually, you know, specifically donating the money. And so I think that, again, can be up to the individual, but I do see in my life how setting up some of those automatic withdrawals has actually led to me thinking less about it. And
yeah.
I do think there's a huge benefit to actually thinking about it and being, you know, an active participant in the actual, you know, physical, tangible act of writing the check or just typing in the credit card information online.
Yeah, man. I mean, I would totally agree, right? I do think, though, that the sort of the auto draft, right, and it's kind of setting it up on a recurring thing might be really helpful for folks who are looking to kind of get started in giving. So it's a tool. It, you know, I kind of see it that way. Like it's a way for folks to kind of get you on a plan. It kind of signs you up and you're on it for the next, you know, however long. But, you know, like I think for a lot of folks that might be, if you're used to that, and if you've been on that sort of treadmill, like you're on that cycle for a while, and like Joel said, if you're not feeling it as much or you don't find yourself like thinking about it at all until you get like the tax document at the end of the year, if that's like the only time that you think about it, then maybe at that point, it is a good time for you to take it off the auto draft and have it set up to where you have to manually do it yourself. Because, you know, like, yeah, you're going to think about it more if you're touching it and you're thinking about it and it's in more of your day-to-day life. It's going to be something that has a larger impact on you personally. At the same time, while I say that, though, I don't want to discourage people from agreeing to support some cause and not doing auto draft. Because if you know that that's how you're going to get on board and continue to pay for the next 12 months, well, then do it. You know, it's almost like a gym membership. Like a lot of times people join a gym because they know that, well, if I don't do this, I'm not going to go. Like if I don't join this program, if I don't sign up, if I don't do this, then I'm not going to do it. And you definitely don't want that as well, because the ultimate goal here in the end is to give your money away and to actually help people. And so don't let that be a hindrance from you to actually helping people and making the world a better place.
Yeah. Sometimes for me, when it comes to that dilemma, the best way to do it is to set up a calendar reminder. It gives me that ability to think about where my money's going, to quickly hop on and make the donation, you know, on that monthly basis. And that gives me kind of the best of both worlds, where it is almost recurring, but it actually also takes a little bit of thought. So maybe a calendar reminder is that happy medium for you.
Yep.
As opposed to that direct ACH or direct bill pay, you know, actually gives you that tangible time to think about where your money's going and reflect on it. Back to the beer real quick. I really enjoyed Russian River Consecration, man. It's a blast from the past that we brought back tonight.
It's funny that you mentioned Blast from the Past. I was actually listening to a beer podcast because I'm a nerd. And they're talking about just all the new breweries and how the guy, the host, was asking another, you know, somewhat newer brewer what they thought about Russian River. Because they were some of like the original pioneers when it came to some of the new styles and definitely with sours and barrel aging. And he's just like, you know, do you think that people will forget about Russian River? And the guy that he was interviewing was just like, no way. Like they were just such pioneers. Like there's no way that folks would forget about them. And I feel the same way, you know, at least for us personally, with it being one of the first amazing world-class like barrel-aged sours that we'd had. Like when he said that, I was just like, whoa, what kind of world do we live in that he thinks that Russian River may not be relevant anymore?
Yeah, I'm completely still pumped to see this show up, you know, in a package on my doorstep. Thanks again to Carl, who runs the website 1500days.com. And if you care about the topics we talk about, you'll really like his site. But yeah, this is such a good beer. And all the beers, honestly, that I've had from Russian River have been A+, yeah, man. They're super good.
I would love... Have you ever been out there?
No, dude. I would love to visit. Yeah, Let's do it.
We need to take a pour not pour trip out there.
Yeah, we do.
All right, man. Time for a recap. How to give your money away. Right now, you might feel like that you don't have the margin in your life. You may not feel like that you're in the financial position to where you can give your money away, to where you can give to charity. And to that, we would say no. You need to start giving now, because what it does is it starts creating that habit. It starts allowing you to build that muscle of giving money away. So when you have a lot of money, guess what? It's not going to be any easier to give that money away when it's a huge dollar amount. It's if anything, it's going to be harder. And so you want to get into that habit of being generous and being charitable.
Yeah. And giving your money away changes you. It lessens your attachment to money. And that's actually a good thing. I think especially as people that are frugal, want to save for the future, that think about, you know, where their money goes often, you know, and if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably one of those people, it can be hard to give your money away. And so I think it's really important, because it changes your heart and it changes the way that you view money in a really positive way.
That's right. And for those folks out there too, who really literally don't have any money that they can give away, consider volunteering your time. There's a lot of organizations that need people more than they need money. And with our lives becoming more and more busy, time is becoming more and more valuable. So yeah, that might be something that you have that you can give away.
Yeah. And be picky about the charities that you choose to give to. Charity Navigator is an awesome site. They do an amazing job of helping you understand where the money that you're giving is actually going. They kind of hold these nonprofits' feet to the fire and will help you understand whether your money is going to overhead or actually going to the people and the places that you want your money to go to for maximum effect.
Great tip, Joel. And then lastly, be sure to budget the amount of money that you want to give away every month. It might seem stiff and, you know, kind of overly formal to do that, but like, you don't have to decide exactly where that money is going to go per se every month. Just decide that you're going to give a certain amount at least every month. And you need a plan for it. You need to have a plan. You need to make that part of your life. Anything that's worth doing, right? Anything that you are trying to achieve or that's a goal for you, you plan for it. And so, you know, giving your money away should be no different. If you want to do it, make sure you plan for it so it doesn't blow your budget, and so that you can go into it with more intention. And so that gives you the ability to give proactively versus reactively with guilt.
No doubt. So thanks for listening, everyone. Our home on the web is howtomoney.com. We'll have show notes up there for this episode.
And if you like what you hear, let us know. You can review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, which, by the way, we're almost hitting the three-digit mark on the ratings and reviews, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah, man.
We're getting to be pretty legit.
Thanks to everyone who know, writes a review for this podcast. We appreciate that.
Cool, man. So that's it.
Best friends out.
Best friends out, man.